Bible says in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, "And I said unto thee, Thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And he gives a proclamation in the first part of that. He said in verse 18, "And I say unto you, Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." You know what God's been doing? He's been building a church. You know, I started thinking about who's in the church. Hey man, most of us, the world wouldn't give a nickel for us. Yet God gave us up. Amen. As the old song says, and the beggar goes free. Amen. I'm telling you, God made a proclamation that He was going to build a church. And I'm in the church. Can I say this morning, there's more people in the church than independent Bible-believing Baptists. Amen. If you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, the Bible said thou shalt be saved and you're part of the church. Amen. I think about, man, you know why the devil hates the church? Because it was purchased by God's blood. Amen. But he makes a proclamation in verse 18. But also he gives us a precaution in verse 18. Look what he says towards the end of that verse. And he said, "And I said unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell." Can I tell you something, my friend? The gates of hell hate the church. And if you don't think it's going to be a fight to come to church, amen, which most of us do fight coming to church. Ain't it every Sunday, amen, you lose your keys. You can't find your keys to your truck, amen. I know of a situation that I just heard. Can't find your keys. The devil probably hid them from you. I don't know, amen. No, you just lost your keys, as Brother Charlie would say, amen. But ain't it funny how on Sunday everything just, all of hell just seems to come. The kids wake up more grumpy than usual. Amen. I mean, on Saturday they're up watching cartoons, but on Sunday you can't get them up. I mean, on Saturday you and your wife are sharing a cup of coffee, and on Sunday you're fighting. You don't even share a donut. My wife lets me normally have the middle part of the donut. Do you not think the gates of hell is going to come against the church? I believe the gates of hell hates this church. Well, if he don't, we ain't doing something. If the devil don't hate this church, something's wrong with this church. He gives them a proclamation. He says, "I'm going to build a church." And then he gives them a precaution. He says, "But I'm going to tell you, the gates of hell's coming." Why do we think we ought to meet here scot-free? Why do we think we should never have any problems or tribulation or trials? Amen. We're going to have problems. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have trials. But the Bible says the gates of hell is coming towards the church. But he gives us a proclamation and then gives us a precaution. But I thank God he gave us a promise in that verse. Look what he said, and he said, "I said unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. This morning, I thank God for that promise, that God said, even though the gates of hell come against it, even though there's going to be a fight, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Can I tell you this morning, the old ship of Zion, amen, it might be battered this morning. It might take on a little water this morning, but I thank God for the anchor that still holds, man. My friend, this morning, I thank God for the anchor that still holds. And if we don't think that there's going to be a fight for our church, we're crazy. And for 32, now going on 33 years, it's been a fight to have a good, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. And some of you ain't never fought for nothing. You just got in on the blessings. You're just reaping the blessings of somebody else fighting. Hey, but this generation, you better start picking up your Bible, amen, and start fighting for what we have in this church. By the grace of God, I don't want to be sitting in a fellowship hall preaching to about four old ladies, amen. Amen. We only got three. Maybe we gotta recruit one more old silver snake. That's not what I want. I want to see life in the church. I heard a preacher say this. I've used this illustration before. He said, "Preacher, do you know how to define or figure out how your church is dying?" I said, "No." He said, "If there ain't babies in the nursery, it ain't babies in the pews."
Right.
Babies. Physically in the nursery and babies in the pew of the church.
Right.
I'm talking about spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah.
This morning, it's going to be an all-out war.
Yeah.
It's going to be a war in your home. It's going to be a war. It's going to be a war.
Right.
But you know what the psalmist said in Psalms 121, 22, verse 1? I was glad. He didn't say, like most Baptists, "I was mad." When they said unto me, "Let's go in the house of God," there's some people that get mad.
Yeah. Amen.
In our church. It wasn't none of these precious angels on the first two rows, I know that. But I'll tell you, there's been people say, "We got to go to church again." Amen. Maybe you say, "Well, preacher, I wasn't mad." Maybe you were just sad. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Man, where else would you want to be on a Sunday? This is my life. It was my life before I was a pastor. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." God found me.
Amen.
He came looking for me in this building.
Amen.
Everybody gets bent all in shape and we talk about selling. God will be in the other building.
Amen.
You know why? Because God's in me.
Amen.
And if you're saved, He's in you.
Amen.
I was having a youth camp and I asked a question and there was a missionary there. And I said, "How many of y'all want to see God show up?" And all the kids, "Yeah, that's me." And then the missionary gets up there and says, "Well, He's here, ain't He? He's in you." This is a building. I appreciate the building, amen. I've got spots all over this building. Amen. This is where I got saved. Right there is where I got saved. Amen. Some of y'all freak out when we say, "Hey, somebody's wanting to buy the building." It's where we meet with God. I understand that. But thank God, man, I got saved right here. But think about the other people. You know, if y'all, I'm just going to preach and meddle for a few minutes. If Gloryland Baptist Church in Adamsville, Alabama, had not decided to take a leap of faith and move to this building, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. And I can tell you, there's other people that need to have the same opportunity. That sometimes you got to take a leap of faith. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I stand here this morning with my right mind. I stand here this morning with my children in the house of God. And the time might cut off. Hallelujah. But praise to, glory to His name. Because it was the time that somebody said, "We need to have a church where God's at." I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm telling you, my friend, I thank God for this church. I was saved here. I was born again here. And over here is a special spot for me because this is where I gave my life to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'll go anywhere You want me to go."
Amen.
Right here.
Amen.
Billy Allen was preaching. I can remember the night. It was on a Wednesday night, and I wasn't going to get up until God done something with me. And back there where Brother Matt sits, that's a special place, amen. That's a real special place, amen. Because that's when I went from being stale to a shouter. Maybe some of y'all need to trade places. This is where for the first time in my Christian life, I stood up and I exalted my Savior with my mouth for the first time. I can remember that day when I stood up and nobody else in the building was shouting. You know why? Because I made a deal with God. I said, listen, Lord, if you let the drummers sing this song, I will praise your name. And they didn't sing it on Sunday morning. And I said, I got out of that. I went up to him. I said, well, Brother Drummond, it sure was good to see you and your family. He said, yeah, brother, we got a meeting tonight. I said, well, hey, I don't have to worry about fulfilling my promise to God. And Sunday night, I come back, and there they were. I said, brother, what are you doing back? He said, oh, man, we had a cancellation. The Lord canceled them. Don't make a vow if you're not willing to pay it. And boy, I said, all right, Lord, here's the deal. If they sing that song, I still go free. I'll get up and shout for the glory of God. And it was like the quietest I've ever heard this building. And they get up and they sing two songs and they're leaving the platform. And I'm thinking, whew, I've done it again, Lord. And as he was leaving the platform, he said, wait a minute, I had a request. I have one more song. Is that okay, preacher? Brother Charles said, yeah, we ain't got nowhere to be. He said, I'm going to sing that I can still go free.
Amen.
I said, now, Lord, can you let Brother Graham break out first? Can you let Brother Charlie stand up, wave his hanky? Can you let the silver saints let their gray hair down and do something? And you know what? I think God stopped every one of your mouths so I could shout for the first time in the house of God. And I tell you, it was the best thing outside of salvation, amen, that I could come in the house of God and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because He is worthy. And that's why I like going to the house of God. Amen, kids. Y'all need to wake up on the front row and get in on it, amen. It's good to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's glad. Hey, the only agenda that we have this morning is Him, it's Him, it's Him, it's Him, amen. We come to church and we say, God, you do something for me. When is the first time and when is the first time in our life we say, God, I didn't come to church for me. I came to church for you to give you glory, to give you honor because you deserve it. Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain. When is the last time we came to worship Him? It's always about us. It's always about us. Well, God, I got to have some help this morning. Oh, I've been going through problems this morning. And God will give you help, Brother Don. But I'm telling you, the reason that we come to church is not for us. It's for Him. For Him to get glory. For Him to get honor. And that's when I believe that the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me. I mean, let me give you some verses. You say, preacher, you ain't giving me no scripture. I'll give you one right here. Let me give you one. I dug one up this morning. I couldn't believe the Bible had something like this in here. Amen. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, you know what it said about the church? I'll read it. Amen. And when they were come and they had gathered the church together. I wonder who that is, the church. They were gathered together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. Man, when's the last time we just come in here and said, we're going to brag on God? Amen. You know, I wouldn't be offended this morning, but hey, don't go overboard. I mean, calm down a little bit. But when's the last time we've had a service like this before anybody could get up and say, now, preacher, I just got to say something. Preacher, I'm sorry. I'm about to bust. I want to tell you what God done for me. And by the way, if you do that, make sure it's about Him. We don't want to know what the devil done to you last week. Amen. Because I know he's been beating you. Amen. I know he's treated you wrong. But I can tell you the Lord hadn't treated you wrong. Amen. The Lord had done you wrong. And what is wrong with us getting up and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, that's why some of you are sad, and that's why some of you are mad, and you ain't glad, because you've never glorified him in church. You say, you're trying to provoke me. Somebody needs to provoke you. Amen. I'm glad Brother Graham's the one to provoke me. He's the one that got me shouting in church, because he put all that conviction. He ain't even no preaching. He's trying to put conviction on me. He gave me tickets to the Alabama football game. I'm going to go down there and act like a fool and come back and lose my voice, brother. And he looked at me. He's taking up the offer. He looked down at me. No, I don't ever hear that. Everybody looks down at me. He looked down at me and he said, how'd you like the ball game? I couldn't even talk. He said, when are you going to lose your voice for Jesus? And walked away. How dare him? Amen. That's his one and only message, and it worked. I wished I had his batting average. I wished I had provoked some of these young people to get up and say, amen. It'll be in the flesh. Well, guess what? I'm preaching in the flesh right now. Amen. That's my 200-something pound body's preaching in the flesh right now. You kids ain't got nothing to be excited about. God ain't done nothing for you. But I know why you ain't shout, because you ain't seen your parents shout. Oh, now we ain't got no amen, is there? Oh, yeah, I'm going to preach hard. You get them kids. You know why we come to church? To exalt the Savior. You know what they said? They had come, they rehearsed. Man, they're standing around. But now this is what I'm going to say. When he said that, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to, woo, praise God. All right, now when you say that, I'm going to jump up. I'm going to, woo, hallelujah. They rehearsed. Say, maybe they were bad at praising God. I don't know. They had to rehearse. Hey, some of y'all need to rehearse. I remember the first time I ran in church. I didn't die. Amen. I just said I had enough. I had enough. All these people talking about running around the building. I had enough. Camp at youth camp a couple years ago, I had enough. I just started running. Amen. Didn't kill me. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it says in Acts chapter 15, verse 4, this is what it says. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Yeah. Why can't we ever praise his name? Yeah. Amen. I think church would be a whole lot more enjoyable if somebody would say something. You know what? I've come to a point, you know, I don't need you to say amen for me to preach. Now, as a young preacher, boy, I need somebody to say, I don't need that no more. Amen. Amen. If you don't amen me, that's fine. I'll preach on you. But you know, when I was thinking about exalting the Savior, why would you want to exalt the Savior? He only saved you. Right. You know, I wrote these three things down. I know it's just as simple as it can get, but When he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. I started thinking about how I can exalt him for his glory. I love these scriptures. I'll just read them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm talking about he exhort him for his glory. Amen. Just who God is this morning. Amen. You know, there's so many adjectives. As we watched that video last week, and the preacher began to say, you know, my king is this and my king is that. And boy, y'all, that thing still has some touch of God on it, amen. And you know why it has a touch of God? Because it ain't got nothing to do about the preacher. It's got something to do about him and how God is. He's indescribable. You want a preacher to get up and try to describe God to you? You can't describe God. You can give him a. You can try your best to. I mean, you can give all these things that he is this morning. But I'm telling you, his glory. Thank God for the glory of God. You say, "Well, preacher, man, how can I exalt him, man? Maybe you don't want to shout. I mean, you don't want to. I'm reserved, preacher. I'm reserved. I don't want to shout. Well, what's wrong with this?
Yeah, amen.
What's wrong with every now and then? Praising God.
Amen.
Putting your hand up. Give him a little wave offering every now and then.
Sure. Amen.
Well, I'm really reserved, preacher. I mean, I don't even know if I can get my hand up. How about just a Presbyterian nod?
Yeah.
Now, some of you got this one down pat. We don't need that one. But exalt him for his glory. Well, say, I don't know about that, preacher. What about this one? I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Can we not exalt him for his grace?
Amen.
Grace is always extended to you undeservingly.
Amen.
There ain't one of us in this building deserve the grace of God.
Amen.
And we can't exalt him for that. See,
I don't know
what it really take for this generation right here to realize that you needed the same grace as your mom and your dad and your grandparents. Just because you've grown up in church all your life, you needed the same grace I needed. And boy, God's extended grace to me. I'm not who I was 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I'm not that person no more. Why? Because of the grace of God. I thank God this morning that I know where I am. Amen. I've got my family in church. My family sings. My family goes with me. I thank God for that. And it's all because of the grace of God. Why was I glad when they said, let's go in the house of the Lord? Because I can exalt him for his glory and I can exalt him for his grace.
Amen.
Why? Because his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
God's got grace for any problem you've got this morning, any trial you've got this morning, any tribulation you have this morning. God has the grace to get you through it. You know, I was thinking as I was getting ready to preach, what if we had a situation like they had over in China? Amen? Wonder how many of us would be here this morning. It ain't because of the rain. We just didn't want to go to jail. I wonder how many Christians will we have in here this morning. Amen. Well, we live in a country that we can freely worship God, and we don't. You know, when I went to China, you know, they don't amen you, and they don't. If they do, I don't know what the Chinese word for amen is. But you know what I figured out? Corey went up with Tanya the day we got arrested. And they sung that song, "How Deep the Father's Love." And I looked out there to that. I looked out there in that congregation, and there wasn't one Chinese that tears wasn't running down their face. We sing songs like "It's Under the Blood," and we sing songs about the goodness of God, and how good God's been, and it's just the songs we sing. I mean, we've just got so used to coming to church and doing our routine and having our routine. And you know what it is? We ain't fighting for what we got. Hey, I'm fighting for old time worship. I'm sorry. I still believe in old time worship. I still believe in that. And this is one pastor who's going to fight for old time worship. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we ain't putting a rock band up here. We're not doing that.
Amen.
I still believe in old time worship. And I believe that it exalts the Savior. I believe it exalts him for his glory and for his grace. It exalts him for his grace.
Right.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen.
To save a wretch like me. See, the problem is we don't think we're a wretch. We might as well change that song to changing the Bibles. Why don't we just change the songs too? Amazing grace, which saved a pretty good old fella like me. A good old boy like me. No, you were rich. Amen.
Right.
I was a wretch, and I didn't deserve the grace of God. And you kids on the front row, I'm going to preach. I'm going to keep preaching to y'all until y'all do something. Y'all didn't deserve it either. You're blessed beyond measure. Hey, if you can't exalt Him for His glory and His grace, maybe you can exalt Him for His goodness. You know, I looked up a scripture this morning, Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. I remember preaching one time, and I preached on this thought: the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And I preached on that thought, and I had 3 points. Point number one, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And I just threw a fit, man. I ran around the building. I don't even know what I preached. And I got down to point number two, man. I was ready for point number two. Point number two, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. I mean, you said that's point number one. Yeah, but point number one is the same as point number two. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And I ran around the building talking about how good God's been to me. Amen. And then I got down to point number three, and they're all ready. And point number three was the goodness of God leadeth into repentance.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, God's been good to every one of us in this building.
Amen.
There, God has done things that only God could have done. Amen. I'm telling you, God has blessed me beyond measure. I just want to throw a fit right now. Amen. That's just what I want to do because I know how good God's been. I know how I've been to God. And God's been a whole lot better to me than I've been to Him. And He has shown me His great goodness. God has multiplied. He's done above and beyond what I could ever think or ask for. That's how good God is. He saved me and He put me in a church to believe something this morning. He put my family back together. He's done so much for me. I thank God for the goodness of God. And we can't even come in here and be glad that we went to the house of God. We're sad, we're mad, we're upset. And it's the goodness of God. How come we can't exalt Him for His goodness? Ain't God good?
Amen.
To give us so many blessings, undeserving. That's what we are. We're undeserving this morning of any blessings of God. You're undeserving of good family. You're undeserving of a good job. You're undeserving of a good church. Yet God in His great goodness gave you a good family, gave you a good job, gave you a good church, and we can't even praise Him for that. What is wrong with us? You know why? We ain't fighting. We ain't fighting for what we got. So one day we're going to lose it. One day there ain't going to be no shouting in here. One day ain't going to be no praising in here. Why? Because we're not willing to fight and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to exalt Him. Just think where you were. The world wouldn't even bail you out. Your friends that you did dope with, some of you, wouldn't even bail you out. And yet, God in His rich mercy, wherein He loved us. Amen. He come by. The world had us on the auction block. Nobody would give a nickel for us. And yet He stood up and said, I'll take them. I know they're marked up. I know their minds are messed up. But I'll take them. I'll take them. And I'll give them some grace. I'll give them some goodness. Amen. I'll show them what glory is. I'll make something out of them for the glory of God. That's why I'm glad that I said that I could come in the house of the Lord this morning. That's why we come here. We come here to exalt Him. I don't understand. God didn't save me any more than He saved you. Why would you not want to fight for what we got? Why would our children not want to stand up and exalt our Savior? I don't understand. I don't understand. But you know what I made up a long time ago? Nobody else will shout. Lord, I'll shout. If nobody else will testify, I will. If nobody else is appreciative of what you've done, I'll be appreciative. Ain't God good?
to give us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are.
Amen.
You know, we ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow.
Amen.
Ain't God good?
Yeah, sir.
Boy, I used to, them Gorland girls used to sing that. Boy, we'd be getting something, people be shouting. They get up here now, it's going, praise His name. Hallelujah, preacher. Amen. I sat here this morning, and be honest with you, I think it ought to be better. I think there would be more shouting, but I'm glad for the ones that do. Because I've been to some where they don't do nothing.
Yeah.
They look at you. And it's like you blow your voice out. I do. If I go to the average, when I was going, I'd just blow my voice out. I come back, I couldn't talk. Trying to get some deadhead to be glad that they're in the house of God. But they're coming because of the formality of it.
That's, right.
That's what we always did, preacher. That's what granddad did. And that's what grandma do. That's what good old boys do. We just come to church. You want that kind of church?
No.
You want the formality of that?
No.
I don't want the formality of that, brother. I don't want that.
Right.
I want to come any given Sunday where Jesus is number one on the list. And if Jesus decides to show up in the announcements, we're going to praise Him.
Yeah.
If Jesus decides to show up, amen, in the singing, we're going to sing. I done got over preaching. Trust me. I done got over. I can go anywhere. I don't care what meeting it is. And I can sit down and I can shout it out for the glory of God because I ain't got to worry about it. I got over it. But I want to see our church. I want to see our church thriving in 10 years. In 20 years. And I'm going to tell you what built this church was Jesus. An old man of God preaching standards. An old man of God preaching how to praise and worship God. And he did it by an example. Why was he glad? Because they expounded the scripture. Amen? You can't say you don't know Bible doctrine. You know Bible doctrine. Acts 11:26, and when they had found him, they brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Not only should we come to exalt the Savior and expound the Scriptures, number three, church is for us to edify the saints. You know, this morning, brother, I come here, and there's times that I need to be built up. And I don't mean bragged on. The word edify means to build up. There's times that we need to come and we need a tender word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We need a tender word. We need somebody to come up and say, hey, sister, I've been praying for you. I want you to know I've been praying for you. You talking about an encouragement? You talking about building up somebody? Coming up to them and saying, hey, I appreciate your testimony this morning. It encouraged me. We come to church, most of all, to exalt the Savior, to expound the Scriptures, to edify the saints. But can I say this? We come to enlist some soldiers.
Amen.
We need some soldiers in this fight.
Right.
What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get some soldiers this morning.
Right.
Trying those to stand up and say, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Acts chapter 15, verse 22. Then it pleased its apostles and its elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, which Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. You know what they did? They found some men willing to go out and give their lives for the gospel's sake. And I'll say this, and we'll close with this. Why was he glad? Well, he exalted the Savior. They expounded the Scriptures. They edified the saints. They enlisted the soldiers. I tell you, it's also a place to encourage those that struggle. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's people in our church that's struggling this morning. It took all you had to get up and get dressed to come to the house of God. And I want to encourage you this morning to be careful what you say to different people. You don't know that their struggles. You don't know what they're going through. And I used to be real lousy. Probably ain't where I need to be this morning. I used to be lousy about saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Acadia. Grace be to you and peace from our God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted by God. Amen. Why is our meeting in place important? These are the reasons that I believe he said he was glad when they said, let us come or let us go into the house of the Lord.